This week on Art in the Air, our entire show features the Chicago-based abstract artist Pearlie Taylor, whose work appeared in New York and Paris, and will share her lifelong art journey. Our spotlight is on the 63rd Annual Chesterton Art Fair that will feature over 80 artists, great food and entertainment on Saturday, August 6th and Sunday, August 7th at Dogwood Park.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.
Welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM and WVLP, 103.1 FM, our weekly program covering the arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Art on the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant through South Shore Arts and the National Endowment for the Arts. Art on the Air is heard Friday at 11 a.m. and Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP 103.1 FM, streaming at WVLP.org, and every Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM, also streaming live at lakeshorepublicradio.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Radio's website as a podcast. Our spotlight interviews are also heard Wednesdays on Lakeshore Public Radio. Information about Art on the Air is available on our website, breck.com/AOTA. That includes a complete show archive, spotlight interviews, plus our shows are available on multiple podcast platforms, including NPR One. Please like us on Facebook, Art on the Air, WVLP, for more information about upcoming shows and interviews. And we'd like to welcome to Art in the Air Spotlight. They're going to be talking about what the Chesterton Art Center is doing on the 63rd Annual Chesterton Art Fair, which is going to be August 6th and 7th. And this is the 63rd year they're doing it, and they're going to have lots of things to talk about. We'd like to welcome the Marketing Director, Scott Saporiti, and the Program Director, Jillian Bridgman. Welcome to Art on the Air Spotlight.
Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Well, you've got a big thing going on. And of course, by way of letting people know, I'm also involved with Chesterton Art Center as vice chair, but you guys have all the real information here. So go ahead and start telling us a little bit about it.
The fair runs Saturday, August 6th from 10 to 5, and Sunday, again, August 7th from 10 to 4 at Dogwood Park, located at 1504 South 23rd Street in Chesterton. There is free and accessible parking available to all visitors on both sides of the park. So that makes it easy. This year we have over 80 artists in a wide variety of media, including painting, wood, jewelry, glass, leather, fiber arts, and more. So we have new artists as well as old favorites. So we're excited. This year we have a great lineup of artists joining us.
We should probably mention, while parking is free, to get into the art fair, there is a fee. And what is that this year?
Admission is $5 per person. Kids 12 and under are free to enter the fair. And then tickets can be purchased on our website, which is chestertonart.org, at the center here on site at our office, or also at the gates the day of the fair.
And there's things to do there besides artists, things to eat and also entertainment. So tell us either more about that.
Absolutely. So visitors can enjoy obviously browsing and purchasing works from the artist booth that Scott mentioned, but there's also going to be a great lineup of live music, including Patty Schaffner, Billy Foster Trio, Mark Owens, and a few more. There's some delicious foods from local vendors, including Dog Days Ice Cream, Big D's Eats, and some sweet treats from St. Elizabeth's. Obviously, there's also a fabulous kids art activity booth where families can kind of gather with their kids. And this year, we're going to feature tie-dyeing and jewelry making at that booth.
Very good. Tell us a little about the history of the Chesterton Art Fair. I know both of you are kind of new to the Chesterton Art Center, but you can probably speak to that. It's been around for a while.
We have an interesting history because the Chesterton Art Fair started the year before the Chesterton Art Center. So in 1960, a group of artists got together and did the fair. And then the next year they decided to put the organization together as the Chesterton. It didn't start out as the Chesterton Art Center. I'm blanking on the original name.
Artists Association.
Oh, that's correct.
Yeah.
Artisans and
Porter County Artisans Association, I think is what it was called.
Yes. Because there's this is their third or fourth name. Because it was Chesterton Art Gallery right before it was Chesterton Art Fair. So we've had some changes in there.
On topic of the art fair still, I think it's fun to note that this is going to be the first year the teen arts group that we have here is actually going to have their own booth at the fair, where they're going to be selling and kind of showcasing their own personal work. So that's a really exciting new thing happening tied into the fair in August.
Very good. Well, besides the art fair, what other activities we have going on in the upcoming events in August there? Who artists that are coming in and different things like that?
Yeah, so, well, but then also exhibiting with us in August, Corey Hagelberg is going to be coming to the center and doing an exhibit in both gallery spaces. And we're trying to tie a lot of our programming into that show as it kind of leads into our fall calendar of exhibitions. So there'll be some youth classes tied directly into topics about printmaking. Family art days are going to return and tie into that topic as well.
We also, for our members, we're going to be having a members-only event coming up. And there will be an invitation sent out to our current members. So we look forward to that.
What will that event be?
I don't know if we have a date on that yet.
No. What is going to entail in that event? What is happening?
It's going to be a private members with the artist event in the evening. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be doing some sample printmaking for them. And, you know, there'll be...
It's like a private workshop led by the artists exhibiting. So members will have kind of access to this really special one-on-one time with that artist.
Excellent. And anything as we get into the new year, since we're already doing that, coming up, and then we'll go revisit the dates on the art fair.
Yeah, absolutely. Programming is really up and running. We are booking our calendar. I'm all the way into like March at this point. So there's going to be a big growth, I would say, both on the adult and youth programming side of things. We're kind of showcasing, you know, obviously the art visits that we've been doing now with different groups that come in, our family art days, as well as in-house classes, and growth in our outreach program. So that's a big part of it.
Very good. So give us a recap on the Chesterton Art Fair location, times, dates, costs, and like who's going to be coming there for entertainment and food.
It's going to be Saturday, August 7th. Or 6th and 7th from 10 to 5 on Saturday and 10 to 4 on Sunday. It's $5 to get in for adults, 12 and under. Kids 12 and under are free. It's located at 1504 South 23rd Street in Dogwood Park with free parking. And all proceeds benefit the operations and programs of CAC that serve the Doolin community and beyond.
Well, we appreciate you coming on Art in the Air Spotlight for the Chesterton Art Fair, and they have lots of things there with food, entertainment, the 63rd Annual Chesterton Art Fair, August 6th, 7th, and you can be there. Thank you, Scott Separetti and Jillian Bridgman, for coming on Art in the Air Spotlight.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
A Spotlight Extra. The Valparaiso Creative Council and the Valparaiso Skate Park Coalition is sponsoring a skate fundraiser on Sunday, August 7th, from 12 to 3 p.m., Butterfield Pavilion in Fairgrounds Park. Put on your wheels, roll down for a carnival-style event with food, auctions, skateboard demos, and lots of great activities for the whole family. So clear your schedule on Sunday, August 7th, and roll on in. Next week on Art on the Air, we will feature Gary-based artist Corey Hagelberg discussing his recent exhibits, his Calumet Artist Residency, his work as an adjunct professor at Indiana University, Northwest, and his upcoming August exhibit at Chesterton Art Center. Next, we have Sana Brown Bowers discussing her deep and intimate content that's rendered in both text and images, including realistic portraits. Our spotlight is on photographic artist Susan Raymond discussing her August exhibit at the Depot Gallery in Beverly Shores. You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM.
We are pleased to welcome Pearly Taylor to Art on the Air. Pearly has been involved actively with the arts for over 50 years, but her talent showed well before that as a very young child. She has worked with graphite, watercolor, oils, charcoal, and pastels, mostly figurative work, landscapes, and still life. In the early 2000s, Pearly picked up acrylics and an abstract style, which is the basis of her current work. She is the recipient of the African American Alliance Award for 2004-2005 for Outstanding Achievement in Abstract Art. Her work is currently being shown in Toulouse, France at the Cubano International Gallery and Gallery Guichard in Chicago, Illinois. Thank you, Pearly, for joining Larry and I on Art on the Air. Aloha and welcome. So happy to see you.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
Well, Pearly, our audience wants to know a little bit about our guests. So I'd like to you tell us your origin story, how you got from where you were to where you are now. So tell us about yourself.
Okay. Well, I was born in Vance, Mississippi. And my mother moved to Chicago when I was 3 years old. So I have no history of Vance. I may remember one tiny little thing, but that's about it. And that was of a street that my cousin used to play on. But other than that, I have no recollection of Mississippi that much. And in Chicago, and we, matter of fact, she moved to Chicago because my father was going into the Army. And so he sent her to Chicago, and we all were here until he got out of the service. So I don't remember any paintings, or if I was even scribbling, doing anything in Mississippi. But I do remember Chicago. I was drawing on everything.
Do you know why they picked Chicago? Was there family there?
Yes, there was plenty of family here. So I guess it was during the Black migration. So everybody was leaving because I think my mother's brothers came after that, and cousins and uncles and everybody. And we all came to the same house in Chicago. I had an aunt where if you moved here from Mississippi, you could stay with her for a short time until you got your own place, I assume, because we didn't stay with her that long. And then my mother got settled and we moved into another apartment. But so after, and I started going to school, I can't say from my aunt's address, but it was on the exact same street. So we lived on the same street with them for a lot of years. And even then, I think I was drawing on, you know, in dirt and stuff. And it was always a part of me, so it was no big deal.
Do you remember what you were drawing? Because you and I both drew on those paper bags. I was a voracious paper bag drawer.
Well, I do remember because back then TV was fairly new. And you would see television shows and you see the stars, the women in these beautiful, big, long gowns and dresses and just beautiful stuff, hair just beautiful. And I always drew women back then. And they would have, and they would be shapely with flowing gowns and flowing hair and all of that.
Wow.
So my first drawings. And apparently they were pretty good because I remember in the third grade, I was selling them for 5 cents.
It's so entrepreneurial of you.
And 5 cents was a big deal back then.
Well, yeah, you're already starting the art business, so to speak. Yeah.
Absolutely. So they wanted me to draw them one, and I draw one, I get the nickel and so forth. And the problem with that was I couldn't go home with any money, candy, or anything because we weren't allowed to take anything from anyone. So I had to try to eat a nickel's worth of stuff from schoolhouse to where I lived, because I couldn't be asked, what is that? Where did you get that? You know, or anything like that. And there was a little store close to the school, so I could walk slowly home and eat my candy or whatever, and my mother would never know.
I know it sounds, I mean, there used to be the penny candy store, literally.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So 5 cents, you know, I had a lot of loot.
Oh, a good assortment.
Yeah. Nice assortment. Yeah.
So Pearly, did you continue doing that like through school, selling your work, or is that just a third grade thing?
That was just a third grade thing.
Okay.
And I kind of dabbled a little bit all along the way, but nobody ever paid any attention to it. And I really didn't either. I guess it was more like doodling. You sit down and, you know, for a minute, your hand is drawing and you're doing something, because it was a long time before I heard the word artist. You know, it was just, if that was just a foreign word, I didn't even know what an artist really was, or what they really did, you know. So that was never in my vocabulary. I didn't really pay attention to it until I was in high school. And we had an art project, and I had missed the first day of school. I had missed that first day of the project. And so I had to finish the project the second day. So I started, it was watercolor, and the assignment was, she wanted to say foreground, middle ground, background. And she explained briefly what that was. So I went to work and I did my drawing, and at the end of the period, I turned it in, and the teacher held it up. I guess it must have been dry, but I barely remember, or maybe it was the next day. And she used it as an example to show the other students exactly what the project was. She said, this is exactly what, and I was stunned. All I wanted to do was just get it done, you know? So in that one period, I finished the entire project, which it wasn't hard to me, it's just that I had to complete it.
Right.
So I'm sitting there like a deer caught in the headlights when she held up my painting, you know, and I'm just, my God, I was embarrassed, you know? So, but anyway, after the art class, I didn't, in high school, you know, after you take your arts class, that's it, you're on to something else. So after that, I didn't really do much for a while. I wasn't thinking of being an artist, but I was always interested in the guys who drew murals on the blackboard. They never asked girls. So there were guys who were really good at that. And I would always watch them a little bit because that was interesting to me. And they were using colored chalk, so that was nice.
So was that other students, male students, or was it teachers?
They were male students.
Wow. And yeah. They never let the girls do it, huh?
Never let the girls do it. No, it was always a boy.
So as you progressed through and got to high school, did you have someone like a teacher that really mentored you or took you under a wing? Or
not
really?
Not at all.
Really?
Not at all. Not at all. It was like nobody ever really talked about art that much. You know, or if they did, it was not a big deal kind of thing.
So that class was not really, so was that class a specific art class, or was it just?
It was an art class, yes. Mm-hmm. That one class was an art class. And after I graduated high school, you know, I got married, I had children, I have 5 kids. So I didn't really have time to really paint. I was more or less doodling. And by the time my children were in their late teens, I started again, kind of seriously paying attention to drawing. So I would draw, I bought watercolors, I'd do a little watercolor. All this was on my own before I started taking classes in art. I took classes at the American Academy of Art back in the 80s. I must have been like, my 40s, because I'm 80 now, so it was a long time ago. So, and I enrolled in an art class because art was an odd thing to me. It was almost like a bother because it was always there. And I was at a point where I wanted to know, what in the heck is this? Why does this stay with me like this?
Right. Why does it keep calling me?
I always doodling and drawing and this and that. Now, and at the same time, when I was growing up, all of my brothers and sisters could draw. There were 9 of us. That's why it was no big deal. We could all draw.
What about mother and father and grandparents? Were they also?
They never knew that we could draw or saw any talent in it. It was just child's play.
Right.
So by the time my mother died, she died when I was 22. I was doodling at the time, but I had my kids and, you know, it just in spare moments. So it was kind of like nobody ever paid it any attention.
So Pearlie, what were you doodling this whole time?
I don't remember because it was in pencil, whatever it was, you know, and I just sit and I would just draw and sketch probably ladies or look at something and I would draw that in the house, you know, a pan, a glass or whatever was around me that would get me started.
So right.
Kind of like little lightweight sketches. But it still bothered me that I always wanted to do that. And when I got a chance, I decided I would take a class. But by the time I took the class, I was looking at it a little more seriously. Because as I got older, the things I was doing was a little more interesting, although they were very figurative. I was drawing in pencil and graphite. And I was doing enough to hold my interest. So when I decided, what is this thing? I was almost in my 40s and I wanted to, you know, see what was going on after all those years of doodling. I enrolled in American Academy of Art at night because I was working during the daytime. And my first experience in a life drawing class, I have to tell you, I didn't really know what life drawing was. I saw it on the schedule and said drawing. I took it. So I go there to the life drawing class with all my little stuff. And he said that I didn't realize it was going to be a live model.
Right.
You know what life drawing was.
I know.
Guy comes in and he's loosening up. All he had on was a robe. So that kind of got my attention a little bit. So then he just took the robe off casually and started loosening himself up. And I was stunned. So I'm saying to myself, this is far too advanced for me. At the end of the class, I'm going to withdraw. I said, I didn't realize this was what this was. So I sat there and we did quick sketches and all that. And I'm saying to myself, this isn't half bad. The problem was he was completely nude, and I had never seen a nude man other than my husband. So when we got to the long pose, and you had to really focus in on the details, the figure, when we got to the part where you had to draw the penis from the way he was posed, I felt this laughter coming up. Because you know you got to squint and really focus in on the detail. So I kept clearing my throat because I knew if I started to laugh just a little bit, I would probably become hysterical in that.
As well as the rest of the class.
As well as the rest of them. So I got up and I went in the hall and I got a drink of water and I stood there against the wall and I told myself, "You're gonna be okay." So, and then I'd go back in. And as soon as I started to focus again, I could feel the laughter coming again. And I cleared my throat and so forth. But however, I managed to get through it. But it was startling in the beginning. And as it turned out, I made some pretty decent drawings overall. And I decided to stay in the class.
And decide not to laugh because it might make the model feel really shy or something.
Exactly, right. And they probably would have just put me out of the class altogether. So that was my experience with my first life drawing class. And I liked it enough after that where I stayed on, finished the semester. But I would go a semester, I would probably miss a semester. You know, I had five kids and a husband and so forth. And I guess if you total it all up, I may have gone maybe four complete semesters. But during that time, I did graphite paintings, oil paintings, watercolor, everything except acrylics, and did quick sketches and all kinds of sketches and putting together scenes, you know, adding different elements from different places and to make one nice painting. And I really liked it. And of course, every season there'd be a different teacher, but I realized I was better than I thought once I really got into it.
Right. And I'm sure you were getting feedback. I mean, really positive feedback during this time.
I was getting very positive feedback. And then I was taking another drawing, Still Life, I think it was. And I realized that the more you study with teachers, they teach you how they draw. Because when you're teaching, you're showing them the way you do things.
Correct.
And telling you what you should be, and learned about values and the direction of lighting and all of that. And one of the reasons I attended the American Academy of Art, rather than the Art Institute, is because at that time, I didn't have to have a curriculum. I didn't have to study art history. And I didn't have to, and I felt I didn't have time for that. So all I really wanted to do was draw, paint, do what I wanted to do. I didn't want to, because so much time had passed already. But in the course of that, and I was old enough to realize the more you study a particular way to draw, it takes longer to become yourself.
Right.
So after a while, I stopped attending the American Academy of Art, and I just started to draw at home. And I would pretty much do the same thing, but it was of my own choosing. And I was still figurative. I did not even know anything about abstract. My love was abstract when I'd see it, but I never knew how do you start? You know, what do you do first? So I didn't get into abstract until 2002 or more. I was married before my late husband died. I'm married now, but I was married 25 years prior to this marriage. And that husband was also a jazz musician.
Ooh.
I listened to jazz almost every day. And because he practiced every day, he wanted me to practice every day, to draw every day. But I couldn't. He would come home, pick up his saxophone and just practice. I would have to come home, get my mindset ready after I've probably prepared dinner, and then go up to my studio. I had a studio at home and really couldn't use it. I lived in Bronzeville at the time in a 3-story house. I had a full-fledged studio that I could never use. But anyway, long story short, after he died, something changed. My whole life changed. And we had a business, a UPS store, Lake Michigan, in Lake Meadows. It's hard to explain exactly what happened, but I was home one day and there was a voice that said, you have to simplify your life. And I woke up, I was asleep, and I woke up and I looked around and I didn't see anyone. There was nobody there but me. But I did it. About 2 days later, I put the house up for sale. I put the store up for sale. Actually, on the same day, I knew a person who had been interested in the store. He had mentioned it to me after my husband died. If I ever wanted to sell, give him a call. I gave him a call. He was still interested. This was like a year and a half later. I put the house up for sale that same day I called him. It took almost a year to complete that because franchise is different from like selling almost anything else. And the house and the business sold the same month.
Oh, my.
I moved into a condo in South Shore in Chicago. And my work changed. All of a sudden, it was like I was free. It was like something opened up. And I was different.
You're listening to Art on the Air with our guest artist, Pearly Taylor, on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM and on WVLP 103.1 FM.
And when I started a painting then, for the first time, I laid the painting on the floor. Big, large canvas. Didn't know why or what. I laid the canvas on the floor and left it there for a few days. I'd walk around it. About 4 or 5 days later, I sprayed the canvas with water and I dropped a single drop of paint on it. I think it was kind of like maroon or something reddish. And the water just took that paint to spread it out, drew all over the canvas. And I was like mesmerized. And then I did a little bit more, a different color, a little bit here, a little bit there. And as I started to add colors to that, and I kept the water flowing, I would spray it a little bit more and it would do something different. And I got caught up in that and mesmerized in that. And I guess a couple hours later, I realized I had done something I had never done before.
Wow. Like completely intuitive work.
Exactly. Completely intuitive work. I worked on that painting for like 3 days because I would let it dry. I would go back and work it again. I'd let it dry maybe 2 hours or better, and I'd go back and I'd add some more color. And by the time I finished it, I was happy with it. But it was such an unfamiliar way of painting to me. You know, I didn't know what to do with it. It just happened that I had my first show coming up where I had actually paid money to enter a show to exhibit. And it was coming up in about 3 weeks. I didn't have a single painting ready to exhibit. So I had to paint. And I took that 3 week time. I completed enough paintings for that show. And all the work was abstract work. I got there. Other artists were there who I did not know. And I set up and I was a little self-conscious about my work. And all the other artists had been painting a while. And, you know, they were just had that camaraderie, you know, and so forth. So I set up my work and then I was telling myself, you know, you never should have done this. You know, you just get through it. It doesn't matter. Just get through it. And when I finished setting up my work and stepped back and people gathered around and started looking at it. And I was like, oh my gosh, this must really be a mess. They didn't say anything. They didn't know me. I didn't know them. And after a while, one guy walked up and introduced himself and said, I'm Stephen Grant, I think his name was. And he said, I really like your work.
Oh.
Wow.
And one more person came through that made a big difference in my life. She was an artist and she was a retired art teacher. And she walked in, had white hair with a cane. As she walked past me, she stopped with that cane, pointed at the largest piece and said, whose work is that? And I said, well, it's mine, you know. And she looked at it. She went over and looked at the price. She said, this is way too cheap. She said, you can't sell this for that. You got do you have a marker? Yes, a marker changed the price on my painting. And she and I we're still friends to this day.
Do you remember what was your color palette? Did you keep the maroons?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Reds, oranges. White. I mean, everything I did was really bright. Had some reds and just bright colors, oranges, greens, and this and that and so forth. So it was good.
So did that show lead to another one, or what happened after that show?
Matter of fact, I sold a number of pieces at that show because I also do abstract florals as well. So between the abstract florals and the straight abstract pieces, I did pretty well at that one show. Also, prior to me doing that show, I met Andre Guichard.
Ah.
Now, meeting him was very pivotal in my art career. During the time that my husband and I had the UPS store, Andre used to ship paintings through the store. And because my husband and I never worked together, we had split the day. We wanted to remain married while we owned this business, so we did not want to be in the store together. So he would work, say, morning, open the store at 8, and he would leave like 3 o'clock, and I would start at 3 and so forth and so on. And we would switch that up sometimes. So whenever Andre came to ship a painting, for some reason, I never saw him. My husband would tell me about this artist who's doing this wonderful work, and I need to meet him, and blah, 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 blah. So I didn't think much about it because I was working all the time. My husband was like the ambassador in the store. He talked to everybody and so forth. And I did the work. So they came in because my husband had requested that he come in. And when he was leaving the store and Andre met him and came in, he took Andre to our home and showed him the 2 pieces of artwork that was hanging in the living room that I had completed. I used to draw and sketch a lot, but I never completed anything, never had time. So I had completed a couple of pieces. They were hanging on the wall. He brought Andre over, showed Andre the work. Andre liked it. And when I saw him again, he told me, nice work. Well, I guess about a year and a half later, my husband died. During that period, Andre was having shows at South Shore Community Arts Center in Chicago and doing other things. He was always selling artwork. I met him as an artist. And he asked me to start painting for a show. He asked me, look, I have a show coming up. I need some work. Would you mind painting for this show? And he would ask you for like 5 pieces or 10 pieces or 12 pieces. Now, coincidentally, now I'm still grieving. This must have been like maybe 6 or more months after my husband had passed away. That when Andre had me to start painting for a show, it kept me from sitting at home, you know, mourning to the point where I couldn't do anything else.
Right. You could throw it into your work.
Yes. Because all I really had to do was go to the business, work, go home. And that was all I was doing. So when he started me to painting, that took the focus off of just sitting around, you know, being sad and so forth and so on. I would come home from work and I'd start painting. I would get up early the next day, paint a little more, go to work, come back, do the same thing over and over until I had completed the work. So he has been a pivotal person in my life the whole time.
That's so beautiful. He's quite an inspiration himself, both he and Francis. Absolutely. I admire them both greatly.
Absolutely. So he and I are good friends now, and I've been showing work with him ever since then.
Oh, wonderful. And, so with your husband, do you have recordings of his jazz?
I do not. That was another life. After he died, I sold everything in the house and I moved. I had a house sale and my life was changing. I didn't want to take a lot of things that would make me sad. I sold practically everything we owned except maybe the bedroom, dining room, furniture. And after that, people were lined up to buy. I sold practically everything else.
Wow, that was amazing. So after that show, more shows happened. And now, as in the intro, you're in France. You're showing in France. So can you explain your career after that? Like what the progression was?
That was through Guichard. He had a connection in France. And they sent work. he sent work to France. And that gallery owner would show, you know, she showed it in her gallery. I'm not sure whether it exists anymore, but those were some good tags. I was doing a lot doing those tags.
So what are you currently working on?
I just completed 30 paintings for this solo show that's going to open at Guichard's this Friday.
On July 15th.
On July 15th, yes.
How long does that show run?
It runs for 30 days. It will be over August 15th, and a new solo show will begin.
Beautiful. 30 works. Wow.
30 works. Yes. During that time, I had COVID. But luckily, I was painting so much and going to the studio every day until I guess I may be a couple of paintings short, you know. But I was home with COVID for like 2 weeks.
Yeah. Pearlie, tell us a little bit about your process. And first of all, like the evolution of your work, you know, you went from, well, doodling way, way long time ago to like, now you're doing abstracts, but, and I'm looking at like some of your things online as we speak here, but tell us a little bit how that's evolved and changed. I know Esther asked you about your palette. Has that changed? Are you staying with that and mediums that you've worked with?
Well, basically I just work with abstract now. And the colors changed in my work to a certain extent. Early on, I never used black in my paintings because I like bright colors. As it evolved, I can use black now, and I'm at the point where almost everything I do is a little bit of black in it somewhere. And also, my style has changed from just pouring paint onto the canvas and manipulating it with different little objects and things. I can now, what I do now, I can lay a large canvas on the floor and I will mix a huge batch of paint, and I'll use a broom or a mop. I use branches, sponge. I'll use almost anything that will make a mark. And I love, it's so spontaneous. I love the way it comes out.
So what are the sizes of your canvases generally?
There are a couple at the gallery now that are 3 feet by 7 feet. And that's about as large as I can handle because I use so much paint until it makes it heavy. And I have to kind of move it or shift it or eventually stand it up and all that. But painting with a mop or a broom, it's exciting because you only get maybe 2 strokes and that's it. You've got first stroke, you have to position yourself from where you want to start. You have a huge space to cover so that 1 stroke has to be wide and big. So I'll practice the swing before I use the mop or the broom. So I'll stand and I'll do a big motion. Then I go to the other corner and do the same thing until I'm comfortable in a position. And then I'll start and I'll pour, and I use 3 colors most times, and I'll pour them all on the canvas at once. I'll pour in, I'll just take a big container, throw in the black, then say, I'll throw in some white on top of that. And then the 3rd color is kind of like the main color for me. Maybe I'll throw in some yellow or red, whatever it is, but it's always 1 color. Then I will take my mop or my broom and I'll make that 1st stroke. Now it may take an hour to make the 2nd because I only have 1 more stroke. Otherwise, it'll muddy it up.
Right.
So I'll walk around, I'll look at it, I'll take a break, I may have a snack.
Like chess.
Yeah, right. And that's right. So then I'll determine from which way I'll start. Many times I'll just get up and start. I won't think about what point or whatever. I'll just go and I'll use that second stroke, because if I think too much longer, it'll start drying a little bit around the edges and I lose my nerve. So I have to just go in that second stroke. Whenever I can get up, when I get the momentum to get up, I'll just do it.
Right. There must be something so freeing in that first big stroke.
I love it. It is. It's kind of like you're on the edge because you know you can easily destroy the painting.
Right.
And you just have to go for it. And wherever the paint goes, it's right.
Right. And it's not like you can take a tissue and mop it up. You know, it's like a lot of paint.
Exactly right. You cannot take a tissue. And I'll look at it, and while the paint is red, it'll flow a little bit one way or the other, and I'll leave it. I won't come back and see it until maybe the next couple of days, because it will take 3 days to dry.
You're listening to Art on the Air with our guest artist, Pearly Taylor, on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM and on WVLP 103.1 FM.
And so do you feel it when it's done? Like when you make that second stroke, do you go, okay, yeah, that does feel complete?
I do. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll do that second stroke will do something so different and so nice until I'll say, wow, that is just sweet. You know, it just feels good, you know? And I'll say to myself, I'll talk to myself and then, Pearly, you know, you've done it this time. So I'd hate for anybody to see me while I'm going through all that, because I think they'll be ready to commit me somewhere.
Well, I don't know. That's like, as I told you, that's how I felt when I saw those first images. I mean, I really felt them in my body.
Absolutely.
It's just so bold. I mean, they just really jump at you.
Yes.
Pearly, is there anything you're looking forward to doing in terms of exhibiting work, changes in direction of your work, or going back to figurative things that you used to do, or you're just real happy where you're at?
You know, a change is coming. I can see it already. And I'm not exactly sure, but I kind of have an idea as to what I'm going to do. I want to go back to oil painting again, which is my first love. I love oil, but oil takes a little too long to dry and all that. And you can't be as free with it as you can with abstract. So I'm going to go back to that, but it probably won't be figurative or landscape. It'll probably be a mixture of that with an abstract bent. You know, no, that's smaller. Yeah, I've been thinking about it for a while, and I'm thinking I have time to experiment now.
It's a whole different thought process with oils. It's kind of like the opposite of acrylics.
It is, absolutely. But it's a wonderful medium.
It is, yeah, it's a brilliant medium.
Yes.
How exciting.
Now, do you work in your own studio right there in your home?
I have a studio in my home, but I work at a studio that's away from home.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is larger and nicer. The studio here at home is like a bedroom size. It's decent size, but I junk it up too fast.
Well, and you can't go really, really big necessarily.
Right. And then I have to think about the walls and all that. And I don't want to get paint on the wall. So I paint small things here in the studio.
Is that just as comfortable for you as large, or is it hard to transition between the two?
It's hard. I don't think small. So doing a small painting is very hard. But I'm going to, you know, force myself to get back in it. Small for me is kind of like 16 inches by 20 inches, something.
Right. So with that, do you, like with the big one, it's very intuitive and almost like a dance doing it.
Yes, it is. That's exactly what it is.
Now small, do you plan it out more, or do you use the same motions, but smaller?
No, I can't do that smaller.
Yeah.
Smallest that I can use the big sweeps is like 3 feet by 4 feet. Anything under that I wouldn't want to do, because in my head, abstract is only good for me large.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see it in a small format. So when I start painting small, it'll be some figurative and something else, maybe a little collage. I don't know yet. I just feel the change coming. So, and I'm going to just work it through and see what happens.
Yeah, that new tingly feeling is very exciting.
Yes, it is. It is. And I may be able to paint a little bit more at home.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where do you draw your inspiration from? I mean, you know, with abstract, you know, like people do more traditional subjects type things, but where's your inspiration? Is it just the motion like you do, that you described, or do you have anything in mind, or is it just the feeling of the moment?
I like the feeling of the moment. I try as much as I can to walk into the studio with nothing in mind, because it's kind of like I want my inner spirit to create whatever it wants to. So I go in and I'll just start without thinking about it. And those few moments that I'm into it, it kind of like gives me just enough direction to do the next thing. So I don't want to think very heavily, very deeply into what I'm going to paint, because then it'll make me paint something recognizable. Want to do that.
Well, Pearlie, do you ever pass on do you have like workshops or classes of any kind of showing your technique, or even demonstrations of the actual process that you use?
I've had a few demonstrations. Bouchard would have events, and I would do a live painting on the spot for him. I used to do that back in the day. I don't do that anymore. And I've done a few paid parties. People have requested that, and I'll do that. And they're kind of fun. And I've been, I've done a couple of kind of master artist classes at a couple of schools in Chicago, King High School, and then another elementary school. So I did that. That would be like about 4 weeks, I believe it would be. And I would go in and I'd teach the students, and I would teach them how to do an abstract painting. But it would be a figurative type of abstract. So they'll actually see an object in it and so forth, but it won't be as rigid or tight as a figurative painting.
So you talked about having this larger studio. Is that your own studio, or do you share it with other artists?
No, it's just mine.
Oh, excellent.
A large church. It is really good because the studio is nice. But the drawback is, since COVID, there are very few other artists in there. You know, so I'm kind of like on my own, you know. No inspiration from other artists. You know, we don't talk or get together or anything like that. We just come and go, you know, as we choose.
Yeah, the pandemic has changed so much of
yes,
just every aspect of our lives.
It has changed a lot.
Well, and is there anything that during the pandemic, touched on it just briefly, but how it impacted you? And of course, you actually had COVID, but anything you are now looking forward to as we, well, hopefully are hitting the exit door on this?
And painting?
Well, yeah, and just in your life, too.
No, I'll probably paint until I die. You know, there is no just stopping, period.
Great.
Do you also do any writing or poetry or?
I do not. I have another talented brother that does that.
Ah.
So the family overall have been really talented people. And I guess it's from somewhere. We don't know where.
It's true. It does sound like it's a family talent.
Yes. Yeah, I believe so.
Well, you know, Pearlie, we're about a minute out here, so we want to make sure that the audience can find you, like, online or maybe visit your work or, you know, see galleries. So tell us how people can find you.
Okay, I'm on Instagram at Miss Pearlie 1, and I have taken my website down now, so that is no longer useful. And I'll be exhibiting July 15th at Gallery Guichard at 436 East 47th Street, I believe it is, in Chicago. And that's going to be, a big, beautiful abstract collection of work.
It is. That's galleryguichard.com. And Guichard is G-U-I-C-H-A-R-D.
That is correct.
It's a beautiful gallery. Please visit.
Yes, it is.
And how long is that exhibit going to be up?
It's going to run for 30 days.
Okay, excellent. So if you get a chance to get there. Well, we really appreciate you coming on Art of the Air and sharing your entire art journey with us. That's Pearly Taylor, born in Mississippi, but it's a longtime part of Chicago, abstract artist, and a very young lady that's shared her wonderful time with us. Thank you so much, Pearly, for being on Art on the Air.
Such a pleasure, Pearly. Thank you.
Thank you. It has been a pleasure for me.
Next week on Art on the Air, we will feature Gary-based artist Corey Hagelberg discussing his recent exhibits, his Calumet artist residency, his work as an adjunct professor at Indiana University Northwest, and his upcoming August exhibit at Chesterton Art Center. Next, we have Sana Brown Bowers discussing her deep and intimate content that's rendered in both text and images, including realistic portraits. Our spotlight is on photographic artist Susan Raymond discussing her August exhibit at the Depot Gallery in Beverly Shores. We'd like to thank our guests this week on Art on the Air, our weekly program covering the arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. Art on the Air is heard Friday at 11 a.m. and Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP 103.1 FM, streaming live at WVLP.org, and every Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM, also streaming live at lakeshorepublicradio.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Radio's website as a podcast. Our spotlight interviews are also heard every Wednesday on Lakeshore Public Radio. Thanks to Tom Maloney, Vice President of Radio Operations for Lakeshore Public Radio, and Greg Kovach, WVLP's Station Manager. Our theme music is by Billy Foster with a vocal by Renee Foster. Art on the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant through South Shore Arts and the National Endowment for the Arts. We would like to thank our current supporters and underwriters, which include regional art patron Mary Levan and Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments. So we may continue to bring you Art on the Air. We rely on you, our listeners and underwriters, for ongoing financial support. If you're looking to support Art on the Air, we have information on our website at breck.com/AOTA, where you can find out how to become a supporter or underwriter of our program in whatever amount you are able. And like I say every week, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good, and you'll feel so good about supporting Art on the Air. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts, arts-related event, or exhibit, please email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck, B-R-E-C-H.com. Or contact us through our Facebook page. Your hosts were Larry Breckner and Esther Golden, and we invite you back next week for another episode of Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a splendid week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.